listening to Bible Through the Year 2017, a weekly devotion to supplement the annual Bible reading plan for Cornerstone Baptist Church in Wiley, Texas. I'm Justin Wheeler, the preaching pastor for Cornerstone, and this is week 17 of our Bible reading plan, which means that we're going to be reading in the book of 1 Chronicles. We're going to read the first few chapters, chapters 1 through 6, and we're going to continue to read through the Psalms of David. So last week, we finished up 1 Samuel, and we kind of kicked off 2 Samuel. But this week, we're going to pause in 2 Samuel, and we're going to shift over and begin reading the first couple of chapters of the book of Chronicles, which coincides with the life of David. 1 Chronicles parallels the books of Samuel. But in some ways, Chronicles even goes deeper into the life of David, showing us how he ruled over the nation of Israel and what took place as he was doing so. Now, personally, I love reading these books. I love reading them together, Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, because they're so rich in detail. They help these Old Testament stories come to life in new ways. Now, these books may seem boring to some of you, especially those of you who don't care for history and really don't get excited about reading genealogies. But I promise, if you are willing to read slowly and carefully, you will be rewarded. For instance, as you read about the mighty men of David, the 30 mighty men of David, you're going to notice some of the names are familiar, perhaps, but at least one of them should be very familiar. The name I'm referring to is the name of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was one of David's 30 mighty men. He was one of David's personal bodyguards. He had been with David ever since the days in the cave of Adullam when David was on the run from King Saul. Uriah fought with David, he bled with David, he celebrated military victories with David. And the fact that he was part of David's personal bodyguard meant that he was probably part of laying out the battle plans. I mean, he would have taken a leading role in every battle. I mean, this is a significant figure in the life of David. But this same Uriah was also the man married to Bathsheba. David's notorious fall into adultery and murder comes at the expense of one of his most trusted friends. Now, facts like this help us to see the story of David in a whole new light. They help the stories of Scripture come to life, and they remind us that we're dealing with real people here. We're not dealing with superhuman individuals. We're dealing with real people who have real problems, who are struggling with sin just the way we do, and who need God's grace and forgiveness just like we do. So read these historical books carefully, and I trust that as you do so, you're going to be rewarded. Also this week, we're going to continue to read in the book of Psalms, particularly the Psalms of David. And one of the things that I haven't discussed over the past few weeks is that the book of Psalms is really not one book, it's five books. If you go back and you look at Psalm 1, you're going to notice that there's a title above the text that says Book 1. So the Psalter, the book of Psalms, it's broken down into five parts. It's broken down into five books, and they break down in this way. Book 1 is Psalm 1 through 41. Book 2 is Psalm 42 through 72. Book 3 is Psalm 73 through 89. Book 4 is Psalm 90 through 106. And then Book 5 goes from Psalm 107 all the way to the end of Psalm 150. Now, the psalm at the end of each book, it serves as a benediction. And then Psalm 150 serves as the benediction for the entire Psalter. So here's what I want you to do, I want to encourage you to do this. As you're reading through these various psalms, make sure that you don't skip over the introduction. Make sure that you don't skip over the little superscription that comes before verse 1. These things help us to understand the historical setting of when and why and by whom this particular psalm that we're reading was written. Okay, so as we turn our attention to something that we can meditate on, let's turn our attention to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 starts off by saying this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, this is a Psalm of David, and it is a song about the dignity and power and purity of God. It's a psalm that highlights the name of God and the fact that the name of God is more majestic than all of creation. All that there is for us to see from the vantage point of living on this planet is limited in majesty compared to our God. God's glory is above the heavens, meaning that the sun, moon, stars, and planets in the sky are nothing compared to the majesty and beauty and glory of God. Now, you get the picture as you read this psalm of David, right, lying on the ground in the evening, maybe after a battle, maybe after a long day of tending sheep, but he's looking up at the starry night sky, and he's just marveling at all that he can see. But then his heart begins to soar, not at the thought of the stars themselves, but at the thought of the one who made the stars to begin with. In verse 3, we read this, "When I look at your heavens, when I look at the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place," this is the question that comes to mind. What is man that you're mindful of him? And what is the son of man that you care for him? See, David's marveling at the night sky just turned into worship. He can't help but marvel at the wonder of God who made all things like it was child's play. God fashioned the heavens with his fingers like a child forming creatures out of his imagination from a block of clay. But then, as David meditates on the power and glory of God, he's pierced in his heart to think that this same God also cares about you and me. You see, David is doing theology here. David is meditating on the space between God's transcendence, his being set apart from us, and his immanence, his being so close to us that he's like a brother. David is trying to reconcile the fact that God holds the universe in the palm of his hand, and at the same time, he has the hairs on our head numbered. So here's what I would encourage you to do. As you're reading through this particular psalm, take some time to meditate on what David says and wonder along with David at the majesty of our God. Next, let's turn our attention to something that we can discuss, perhaps, Psalms 42 and 43, which are the beginning of the second book within the Psalter. And if you read both of these things together, you're going to see something that scholars point out. Most scholars would say that Psalm 42 and 43 fit together. They're really two parts to the same song. And if you read them, you'll see why. The theme of this song is desperation. The psalmist is crying out for God. But another consistent theme that we see in here is that while he's crying out for God, he's also going to be encouraging his own soul. So the psalm starts out by drawing attention to the deer who pants for water. And this is not a comforting image. The deer is parched and dying of thirst. I mean, he's longing for the cool flowing streams that will revive him and keep him alive. And the psalmist is desperate in the same way, but not for water, for God. He's thirsty for God. He needs God to answer him. But the problem is that God seems to be far away. You see, there are times in our Christian life when we feel that our prayers go unheard. There are times in our lives when we don't experience the joy of God's presence. There are times when temptation seems always to get the better of us, and times when our souls are cast down. Now, we can be comforted as we read this psalm because we're reminded that we don't go through these things as believers on our own. There are others who have gone through such times. But also, we can take comfort if we follow the instruction of this brother who would not allow his heart to abandon the pursuit of God. Notice in Psalm 42 and verse 5, Psalm 42 and verse 11 and 43 verse 5, that he rebukes his own heart. Here's what he says. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" And the very next line, he says this, "Hope in God." He is focusing in on the problem, but he's also focusing in and directing his own heart toward the solution. The problem is that he's cast down. The problem is that he's in turmoil. And the solution is that he needs to place his hope in God. Now, this might seem like a subtle twist in a work of poetry, but in reality, this brother is preaching the gospel to his own heart while he's in the midst of spiritual depression. He is honest about the struggle that he's going through, but he's also honest about what he needs to do. His soul is cast down, but he needs to remind his soul that his hope is to be in God alone. So take some time to read through these two psalms and take note of how the author battles his fear and anxiety by renewing his hope in God. And then take some time to talk with others about how to preach the good news to your own heart as a way of letting the truth strengthen us in times of trial. Now, finally, something that we can pray about. Now, I'm really tempted this week to draw your attention to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, and have you read through the prayer of Jabez. But I think I'm going to go in a different direction. Let me encourage you to choose one of these psalms this week and simply let that psalm guide you in a time of prayer. Here's what I mean by that. Put yourself in the author's frame of mind. And as you cry out to God, as you speak to God, follow the same pattern of thinking that the author is using. Pray with your eyes open on the Bible and your heart focused on God. And as you read each verse, let the verse form itself into a prayer in your mind and in your heart. And then let it come through your mouth and straight into the throne room of God. Let the psalm of the day guide your prayer to God. Now, next week, we're going to continue reading in 1 Chronicles. We're going to pick back up and read a little bit in 2 Samuel, but we're also going to continue to read through the Psalms as well. So if you want to learn more about Cornerstone Baptist Church, you can find us online at cornerstonewiley.org. You can follow us on various social medias, Twitter or Instagram, CBC Wiley. You can even find us on Facebook, facebook.com/cornerstonewiley. And if you're enjoying this podcast and you don't want to miss any of the new content, be sure to subscribe to our feed on iTunes or Google Play. And while you're there, it might be helpful for us or for someone else if you would leave a review. That way they might get to know some of the content that we're producing. Thank you for listening.